As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be.
Oh man, it's 8 o'clock.
And so that'll make it a.
I don't need the spotlight. I shine just fine.
Hi, I'm Karma. And yes, I am a bitch.
Brav Bros. Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Brav Bros, your favorite podcast from the bros for everybody, for whoever wants to listen. I am your co-host, Steele Russell, joined as always by the one and only Scoots Magoots. What's up, dude?
Well, we get to sit here and we get to talk about a dumpster fire, and right after the dumpster fire, we get to talk about our favorite show on Bravo right now.
Yeah.
And you'll never guess which one's which if you're listening to this 6 weeks ago.
You wouldn't. Because we're both loving The Valley, which is not what we're talking about this episode. We're about to talk about VPR, mm-hmm. which I have lost most interest in at this point.
Most?
Because, not all, because, look, I've loved Vanderpump was my first love. You know this.
Yep.
So I will always hold out hope for this show. It has simply gotten boring. It is a boring show.
It is.
I feel like we're watching the same episode week in and week out. Nothing's really changing. Sandoval's still a giant piece of shit. He's always going to be a giant piece of shit. Other people seem like they're moving on from this show. Katie and Ariana seem like they have bigger and better things to do. Rightfully so. Good for them. Sheena and Brock, I don't really care. Lala is doing whatever she can to stay relevant right now. She's talking all kinds of shit about people she was friends with for a long time. I'm not sure what the fuck her approach is other than relevancy.
Yep.
I don't understand what direction this show has gone. It's flat out boring.
It's flat out boring. And I even said to you when I walked in, the best parts of this episode involve Jax Taylor.
Which is shocking.
Which is very weird to say out loud, but it is very true. The rest of this show stinks and I don't want to watch it anymore. And we're hearing so many different like grumblings about what might be going on, whether Ariana's going to leave, is Katie going to leave? I know that you and I sort of disagree on this a little bit. I don't want any of them to go to the Valley. I don't want to see Sheena. I don't want to see Lala on the Valley anymore. I'm tired of them. We've seen them for 11 seasons. Their show sucks. Don't bring that negative energy over to a good new show because I don't want to watch it.
I agree to a certain extent, and we have talked about this before. I think there's a world in which you can bring some of them over and it not be terrible. I think that you have a lot of pitfalls there that could allow for the show to suck if they do that. And I think, you know, the more we've discussed it, why I agree with you more so than I have in the past, what I don't want to happen is that people go over from Vanderpump to the Valley, and then we get Vanderpump 2.0.
Yep.
Like, we need fresh drama, we need new drama, we need new people to watch that are captivating, and the Valley has done that against all odds. Everybody that I know that talked about this show, we talked about this show, other content creators, whatever. Nobody pegged this show for being successful.
No.
We thought it would come out of the gate, be entertaining for a little bit, and then fizzle out, maybe. That was like the highest hopes I had for it.
Yep.
No, it's a good fucking show. It's working. So I think it's naive to think that they're not going to try to bring anybody over, especially assuming that, you know, there have been rumblings as well that this may very well be the last season of Vanderpump. And for those of you that don't remember, this show was getting canceled. Like, they were going to take this off the air after last season, but Scandoval saved the show. And I think what we're getting now is a reminder of why this show started to fizzle out. And like, it's just boring. So yes, I agree. I would rather the Valley stay put the way it is, mm-hmm. because it's working, rather than try to infuse some VPR blood in there. But Bravo being Bravo, I think we're naive to assume that that won't happen.
Yeah, and I think it's going to happen too, just because I think everybody sees the writing on the wall. They understand that VPR is going downhill once again very quickly because they all suck. And we're starting to see Lala's hanging out with somebody like Michelle, and there's like a bit of a crossover there. And obviously, we already saw Sheena and Lala on the first or second episode of The Valley as it was. I think that was just to draw some more attention to something that they weren't sure was going to work.
Maybe.
Now they realize it's working because these people are really bringing it. And there's a lot of drama. There's a lot of things going on. It's very real world stuff. And it's really captivating to watch every week. I don't want Lala and Sheena on the TV screen anymore, bringing their dumb VPR shit over there. We already have Jackson Kristen. We already have them doing the things that they've done in the past, and it's working because the rest of the crew is kind of warming up to it. You throw two more people in there, it's going to be boring. It's going to be annoying. I don't think they're going to change at all. I think the most sense that we can make out of all of this, for at least Lisa's standpoint on this whole thing, bring people from Vanderpump Villa, send them to Vegas, and then do Vanderpump 2.0 there.
I think that's a good
idea. That's fun because they're new people. A lot of people aren't really watching it because it's on Hulu, whatever. They need to be on Bravo. They need to be in a bigger scope. They need to be on somewhere that people can actually watch them. Start it over and throw it in Vegas. And look, I know that Vegas is really tough to do a lot of things in, but you can make it work. Lisa has like four fucking restaurants there. Or do it in like Nevada, like somewhere else in Nevada. I don't care what you're going to do.
Lake Tahoe.
Yeah, Lake Tahoe or something. That would make a lot of sense. Just don't taint a good show, because if you do that, everybody is going to be annoyed.
Yeah, and I think that that's a great, great call. Is there's definitely a world where you can have a new setup of a Vanderpump cast and go back to your roots. That's what a lot of Vanderpump Villa is giving, for those of you that's not watching Vanderpump Villa on Hulu.
Did you say it's giving?
I did.
Oh,
that was a genuine
wow.
one, too.
That was serious.
Forced.
Yeah.
I know.
All right.
I'm getting hip with the lingo, bro.
Nice, dude. Right, now you're right back out.
I know. I was trying to get back out because I've never said that seriously. That was the first time.
That was...
ears
perked up.
Yes, they did. But it's giving... old school VPR, because you're getting a lot of similarities with Marciano and Hannah, who are very similar to like early Jax and Stassi. It's just this overly toxic relationship, and they can't seem to find their way apart from each other.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of good things happening there, and I would love if you had this setup where it's like, okay, Villa's the minor leagues. You go to Villa for 5 weeks, you see if you can perform. If you do well, maybe we'll ship you over to the big leagues in Vegas, so you can go to Vanderpump 2.0.
Makes sense.
So that... I would be interested to see if they could make that work. I think that we've just run its course as far as VPR goes. It has, it's gotten to the point now where it's just like, all right, I think a lot of the people on the show are ready to move on to the next phase of their life.
Yeah.
And by a lot of them, I mean Katie and Ariana.
Yeah, the two of them, they really want to go there. And you can do a cute little show, do like a one season show about
something
their shop.
Something about her, sure.
Just something to show it off a little bit, because they've earned it, honestly. They've done enough in the last couple of years. Throw it out there. That's great. I probably won't watch it, but throw it out there. And then the rest of them, I don't care, because they're just old and boring now. And that's really all we have going on for us right now. I don't care about Schwartz's midlife crisis, Sandoval, or God, we're going to keep doing that. Sandoval being a scumbag. Like, he's just going to continue to be a scumbag. Let him go to, like, some C-list Love Island, because he's not hot enough to be on Love Island. So throw him on some, like, low-key thing. Put him on, like, the Golden Bachelor in, like, 10, 15 years when people forget about this.
10 or 15
that would be fun.
Years.
Yeah, you know, he's 55 at that point. He's old as shit. These people are old and boring. I don't care about them anymore.
No, it's fair.
You just can't bring it.
And I think, you know... we could sit here and do this all night, but let's get into the episode. Despite the fact that we're bored with this show, we will still give you our full analysis and breakdown. Don't let this preamble scare you off from the episode. We take our job seriously here at the Brav Bros, so we will always give you 150% effort. If you don't believe me, just go back and listen to any OC episode from last year. We hate watched an entire season.
And it's coming back soon, but Vicky's going to be there, so she might save it.
Yeah,
Vicky's going to save the OC.
I'm down for it. Yeah. Fuck it, whatever. But before we get into the episode, quick reminder, we are less than 10 days away from our live show in D.C., May 3rd at Union Stage. We got Candace Dillard coming out. We got Chris Bassett coming out. We got Ryan Bailey coming out. It is next Friday night. Tickets, link in our bio on Instagram. Go get yourself some tickets. Bring your friends. It's going to be a blast. We're really excited. Getting ready to get back up on the stage. I got to get a haircut.
Yeah.
I got to find an outfit.
Oh, dude, I need an outfit, too.
I haven't thought about any of this.
Nothing.
I was in Italy.
You should have bought something from Italy.
Nice
knit shirt, an Italian knit shirt.
You know what I almost bought?
What?
And I still regret it to this day. I love the jackets in Masters of the Air, like the big...
Yeah.
So we're walking by in Montepulciano. We walk by this leather store, and they sold jackets, backpacks, whatever. And on a mannequin... like in the back of the store, directly in line with the door. It was the last one they had. It was kind of like one of those jackets.
Oh,
we
yeah.
had that, and I walked by, and I was like, oh my God. And I went in and I tried it on. It wasn't enough of the like rugged, like airman vibe.
Yeah.
It was a little more
European.
You know, it was very nice. It was a very nice jacket. And I did, not to toot my own horn, I do believe I pulled it off.
Did you wear a shirt underneath of it?
I did.
Okay.
I wouldn't always wear a
feel
shirt
like
if
you
I
wouldn't.
Owned it.
Yeah.
You know me too well.
Yep.
But it was close. I still think I should have gotten it, and I'll probably think about it a lot until I find a better one.
I think it could get rugged over time, though.
Totally. Yeah, so you're not helping me.
Take it outside and beat it with a bat for a bit.
You're not helping me, because that means I should have gotten the jacket.
Yeah. Well,
anyway, get tickets to our live show and let's get into this week's episode. We start out with Jax and James, and they are at James's house. And we know that because an airplane flies over. We got to be reminded of that every single time. But they are hosting a brunch at Sir that's hosted by the two of them. And I was confused about that because I know that Jax and Lisa aren't doing great. And then later when Lisa's like taken aback by this whole thing, I was confused at that. It's like, do you not know that Jax is coming to do this at your restaurant? Like, well, that was confusing as shit. Yeah, so I think that she's still playing the game a little bit there. But
she says it a little bit later where she's talking about her relationship with Jax, and she was just going to let the whole thing go, but then she started to see pictures or stuff, like flyers out there with his name on it and one of her restaurants, and she's like, come on, like, seriously?
Yeah.
So I think she knew the whole time, but once she saw the flyers, she didn't like the association.
I'm just do you not have to okay it, though? No, that's my whole point.
Maybe not her directly. Maybe one of the managers.
Guillermo had to do it?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Or Sneaky Pete, Peter Madrigal, since he's MIA, but still working at one of the establishments,
what
I believe.
To him?
I don't know. But they start talking about Katie and the fact that she's out there spreading rumors, quote unquote, according to Jax, that Jax is out there cheating again. But Katie's not spreading the rumor. Katie heard the rumor somewhere else because the rumors are out there because you are Jax Taylor. And we get a reminder of that in the Valley episode when you're talking to the Burning Man lady and flirting with her and saying, oh, get me out of here. Get me out. God forbid I stand next to a woman clothed like this. I just can't control myself. Like, that's the problem, dude. You don't have to have Katie out there spreading your shit. You do it enough yourself.
Yeah.
But we move on from there and we get Sheena with Brittany, and we're talking about Brock and Sheena's relationship. And as we've seen this entire season, they are at each other's throats constantly. They can't seem to get on the same page. On one hand, you've got Sheena, who's dealing with postpartum OCD, which is a very serious thing. She's trying to work her way through that. On the other side, you have Brock, who is trying to find himself again. He feels like he's lost himself entirely since moving over from Australia. He had all of these dreams, hopes, and aspirations.
We have to talk about his dreams for a second here.
You want to talk about his dreams? Let's talk about his dreams.
He says he was on the doorstep of the NFL.
I feel like we have a pretty good handle on this kind of topic.
Yeah, this one really pissed me off because there's no chance in hell that he was on the doorstep of the NFL. First off, how many rugby players get drafted every year? Maybe one, maybe two.
Jordan Mailata.
Yeah, success stories, very few and far between.
Jordan Mailata, like, literally it.
Literally him. That's the only one. And maybe a couple of punters out there. He doesn't look like a punter, so I don't think it was him. And you get the rest of them, like 1% of the D1 college football athletes actually make it to the NFL. Brock wasn't going to the fucking NFL.
No.
He did some tryout at some high school nearby, and there was some like low-end scouts watching him do this. We would have known by this point, right? He's been on the screen for a couple years. He would have made sure that we knew that he was almost in the NFL at some point.
It wouldn't have come out this late in his career on Bravo. And like, in my mind, he went to like UC Bakersfield with like 15 other guys that a friend of a scout of a friend of a scout.
Yeah. They're
like, this guy's the next thing. I'm like, all right, we'll go watch him. And you get like the assistant to the assistant coach go out and take some notes and be like, yeah, none of these guys are
good. Where it was like the worst version of Trouble with the Curve. And it was Clint Eastwood's daughter out there, but his daughter doesn't know anything about football.
That's
she just happened to be there. Yeah, that was it.
There's no way. We would have heard more about it. And look, I'm not saying that you have to be big in the NFL. But most of the guys are very large human beings. Brock's not that big.
No.
So
I just don't like the way that he's painting it, where he's like, I had to go chase my dreams in the NFL. It's like, no, you ran away from your family.
Yeah. Jesus. Well, anyway, we get into this breadwinner issue. And Sheena says, you know, Brock, I think that he has an issue with this. And Brittany can relate because Jax feels the same way or has a similar feeling to this because Brittany brings home most of the money in their household. She's got her Weight Watchers thing or Jenny Craig thing, I believe.
Yeah.
She's doing very well. Like, she's a spokesperson for both of them. And if I'm getting that wrong, I apologize. I know it's Weight Watchers.
I thought it was Weight Watchers. I don't think it's Jenny Craig.
It's not Jenny Craig. Yeah. All right. Let me rescind that. She's working with Weight Watchers and doing well. She's bringing in the money for the house. So she's supporting Jax. So she's a good person to talk to about this. I do like how Brock handled it later. I will give him some credit here because when the conversation comes up later between him and Sheena, the approach that he took was not like, I'm emasculated because you make money, because that's not his, or sorry, that's not Sheena's fault that she's doing well. And
right.
She shouldn't have to feel a certain way because she's bringing home the bacon.
Right.
It is what it is. She worked her ass off. She's been on reality TV for a long time, made a presence for herself. She has the podcast. She's doing things, whether you like her or not, she's monetized herself very well. She shouldn't have to feel a certain way because her husband is insecure that he doesn't make enough money.
Right.
So I'm glad that Brock said it the way he did. He said, I just want to be able to relieve some pressure from you that you don't feel that you have to support us both, that I can help us along this road. It's not, I want to be the breadwinner. Oh, I can't be bowing down to my wife. That would have been a lot worse.
You know, the Australian accent got like so much more aggressive when he was with his boy.
Oh, yeah. Well, hold on. Because his boy was Australian. The only thing I'll say is, like, when I go to Texas, if I'm there for, like, longer than a week.
Yeah, I understand.
I get my twang back a little bit.
I get that. It was just so much. It was just really funny because it's one of those things where, you know, I'm doing a couple other things. Obviously, I'm watching, but it's, like, in between scenes. And then it flashes over and I hear somebody talking. And obviously, it's Brock.
Mm-hmm.
And I look up and it's just such a strong Italian accent. Or Italian. Australian accent. You've got me thinking about that jacket from Italy now.
Ah, it's a beautiful jacket. Great. It is. God, it was. I should have gotten it. Dev, I should have gotten the jacket.
Should have gotten the
jacket.
She's
not here, but she listens to the episode. Dev, I should have gotten the jacket. And we went to dinner that last night, by the way, and it closed at like 8. And we were sitting at dinner. It was like 7 when we got there for the reservation. And I was like, she's like, just go running down and get it. And I was like, I don't want to leave you like sitting by yourself in like a restaurant in Italy so I can go buy a jacket. And I almost did it. And I was like, nah, I won't do it. And now I should have done it.
Should have done it.
Should have done it, but whatever.
Left your wife alone.
But
you know, Brock would have.
Brock definitely would have. Brock definitely would have. But one thing we get from this scene that I felt bad for Sheena is she's like, you know, I have all these thoughts now in my head, these insecurities because of Sandoval. Now I'm thinking about Lala and Brock. Like, could Brock do that to me? Could Lala do that to me? I'm insecure about bringing a nanny into the house because I don't trust anyone. And that's the ramifications that will never sink in with Sandoval, which is so fucking frustrating and why he's just an unredeemable piece of shit. He will never understand how far this goes. Like, you have affected people's lives beyond just the fact that you cheated. You have fucked with people's mental well-being because they can't trust their partners because of you. Because you were able to do something so drastically not okay, everyone else is feeling the fallout from it in their own personal lives that have nothing to do with you. So, yeah. Fuck you, dude.
Yeah, and we saw a little bit of that last year, too, when it first happened, where Sheena was even getting to the point where she started thinking about Brock with Rachel
mm-hmm.
because Rachel was so close to them and she was always at their house, even when she wasn't there and it was just the two of them. So obviously her mind's going to start racing. It's just crazy to see that now, like 6-7 months later at this point, she's now evolved into this other thing where anybody could be capable of doing this because Tom did it.
Yeah.
And it sucks. And obviously we can sit back and say, well, Tom's a complete scumbag. He's the dirt of the earth. Not in a good way. Yeah, what is that? What's that phrase that I'm thinking
of? Scum
of
the
earth? Salt of the earth is a good one. Dirt of the earth is bad.
Scum of the earth is a saying.
Scum of the earth is probably way better.
Salt of the earth is a like an endearing thing.
Good thing,
yeah,
right?
It means you're like a rugged, just salt of the earth kind of guy.
Yeah.
Pick yourself up
that
by
that kind of guy wears a leather jacket. But yeah, I'm going to keep bringing it up.
You're going to keep making
I'm
me sad.
Keep doing it, I know. Maybe you can order it online.
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't even know what the name of the shop is.
I'd imagine those fees.
I told the woman I'd be back to buy it too, and now I feel bad.
You didn't say when.
That's a good point. In 10 years, big, I'm back.
Look at me. Anyway, but yeah, it's just tough to watch that it's evolved into all of this. And look, I'm not Sheena's biggest fan, but anytime that she actually shares what she's going through with her emotions or with her postpartum stuff, it is pretty crazy to watch. And I'm sure it resonates with a lot of people.
Yeah, no, we've always give kudos to anybody willing to speak on the real issues. So this next scene, I take it back. The only captivating scenes this episode were not only with Jax, because I like this scene a lot, and it's with Katie and Schwartz.
Yeah. They're still in love.
Schwartz is getting a tattoo, and Katie makes a joke, oh, I saw like the hard launch with Joe, and he's like, it's not a hard launch, but he does then say, like, I'm actually going to take a break with hanging out with her, because, like, the optics, and then she asked me, are you embarrassed of me, which broke my heart for her. I thought it was really funny, though, in a sad way. And by the way, Joe is not cool, and like
Fuck
I don't
no.
have any sympathy for her anymore no. after a fucking live session that she did.
Yeah.
That was nuts.
She's like, of course I blew Schwartz.
Yeah,
like, maybe Katie could have kept him if she did that more off. Like, fuck off.
Yeah, she lost all credibility in my book.
Yeah.
So I actually
We were told that she wasn't allowed to have credibility to begin with.
Yeah.
We got a lot of shit for the fact that we felt bad. But
I felt bad because she was getting bullied. And now I'm like, oh, fuck it.
Ah, bully the shit out of her.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. But I thought it was funny, and again, in a sad way, that Schwartz's response to, are you embarrassed of me, is, I'm not going to hang out with her anymore.
Yeah.
So you're really going to hammer home.
Yeah.
No, I'm not embarrassed of you, but we should stop hanging out for a while. But my point is, and no, Katie should not get back with Schwartz. Katie's better than Schwartz. She deserves better than Schwartz. But my God, the chemistry is palpable.
Yeah.
They are.
They've got such a good point now, too, where, like, they can go out and have food. Like, in the beginning of the season, Schwartz just, he just wore her down.
I think that's
all that happened. He just kept showing up. He dyes his hair blonde. He does a bunch of goofy shit. He's not, like, really rubbing people the wrong way. He's just, you know, hanging out with Tom, which is what he's going to do. People are feeling bad for Schwartz because he's getting put in another position where Tom is trying to force him to live with him. And here we are again. Katie's falling back in love with Schwartz.
No, I don't. I think she's...
Come on.
Look, Katie's too smart to ever go down that path again.
She is, but he wears her down.
You can't deny the chemistry in this scene.
Yeah.
It's there. It's in front of our faces, but...
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples. Now, you know me, I'm complaining about my allergies almost every episode.
Yeah, it's really annoying.
Does it get annoying?
It gets a little annoying. I get it. We get it. You have allergies.
Yeah, I know. And it's a tough time of year. Everybody's got allergies, though. And people come to me because they know that I'm a seasoned vet when it comes to allergies. They come to me during the peak seasons. They're like, Shooter, what are you doing? How do you do things differently? And a lot of times, I don't have an answer. But now I do, because Astapro gave us free samples, and anytime that my nasal allergies flare up, I always go in, grab the Astapro, take a little bit, and I feel great. I do a couple of squirts up my nose, and suddenly, within a couple of minutes, I'm feeling a lot better. It gets me right back into the game, and that's where I direct all my friends that come to me, because I don't always have the answers, but I can direct them to the right places, of course, and that's all you really want as a friend, you know? Go to AstaproAllergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. AstaproAllergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief and nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Hey, hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's D-A-N-A, on your podcast app.
This is where we hear about Tori. And we haven't heard of, we obviously got inklings of this in the season, like during the season, and we've heard hints of it. But they're both talking to the same girl, and they even to the, like, this is how not close they've gotten, but on a better place they've gotten. They're like, ooh, let's both text her and see who she responds to first. By the way, did you get a kiss? Well, I got a peck on the cheek. I got tongue. The last thing I would take from this interaction, or them two chasing the same girl, the last thing I would take from this is what Shorts took from it. Katie pursuing the same girl is Katie's way of wanting to be friends. I don't think that's it.
The way his mind works sometimes is...
I don't think that's it at all.
No, no, it's definitely crazy. Not it. It's definitely not it, no.
What a crazy sentiment. You're trying to hook up with the girl I'm trying to hook up with because you miss me.
I just love the idea of the flow chart where, you know, obviously they break up, then we have the beginning of this season where Katie wants nothing to do with Schwartz because of the Ariana of it all. Schwartz has somehow worn down both of them. To the point where Ariana's even laughing at him and sitting down with him one-on-one and giggling and whatever. And now Katie's going out to lunch with him and talking about the girl that they're both hooking up with. Katie banged Max.
Oh, yeah.
And here we are now with them going after the same girl and having a fun time at it.
I think
none of it makes sense, but I love it.
I think that Katie hooking up with Max,
that was the catalyst,
was exactly what they needed. That was the best thing she could have done for their relationship.
She probably feels a little vindicated, like, I finally got you back.
Yeah, yeah, and he deserved it.
Yep.
Like, I've said from day one, since she said that she hooked up with him, I'm like, good, you should. Fuck Schwartz.
Do you think that Schwartz was actually really pissed about that, or do you think he kind of smiled to himself thinking, like, all right, now she has nothing to go back on, because now I can go back on her with that.
The latter, definitely. Yeah. To him, that was kind
it's
of
all
like
about
a moment of peace where he's like, ah, now we're even. Yes. But you're not at all. Not even close. But that's how Schwartz's brain works. But we move on from there, and we get Brock and Sheena, and they actually go out for their anniversary, which is nice. As we heard earlier, that was, I don't think we talked about that yet, but that was an issue because they had original plans. Those plans fell through, and they were supposed to be with a lot of people. And then Brock's like, well, let's just go to dinner together. And Sheena didn't want to. She wanted to hang out with a bunch of people. I actually agreed with Brock there, where it's like, nah, go have a nice dinner with your husband. But regardless, they do end up doing that. And they're sitting down. They're just talking it out with one another. And we've heard this conversation in a lot of shows, I realized, as they're sitting there talking about their communication and things like that. Summer House, this, The Valley. We have a lot of relationships where they're having difficulty communicating, and it's also around kids, now that I think about it, because Jesse and Michelle was after the kids. So they're sitting there trying to get on the same page with each other, and this is where the breadwinner conversation comes up between the two of them. And what he says exactly is, I want to alleviate some more stress and do some more work around the house. Sheena makes a very good point. Do you not think that what you do for me and our child by being home and being present, all of those, does that not carry any weight?
Yeah.
Because that is a big deal. And the fact that he is there, I do understand wanting to have your own thing and having a purpose and a career and all that. That's the same thing that Sheena wants, the same thing that a lot of people want. You want to be able to pursue something that is yours. So I get that part of it. What I thought was a little strong, really strong, and not in a good way, this is your second chance at being a dad.
Yeah, that was tough. That's a little rough.
Whoa.
Sheena, too, is insane.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Like, look, we don't condone what happened with Brock and his first two kids. And I've asked since he's been on the show, why do we not get any answers about this? Even this, I was like, okay, we're going to talk about
it finally. Do you know what Brock's daughter's name is?
Like Moon Winter.
Winter Sky.
Winter Sky.
Sheena was induced on the same day that Winter Sky's birthday is and named her daughter Summer Moon. How fucking off is that? So like every time that we're like, all right, yeah, Sheena, like we get it. We understand what's going on and everything. Like, no, you're just as bad.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That just clicked.
Yeah. And that's the
Deb was trying to say that to me earlier. I was like, yeah, cool. Jesus.
There's a lot of people now that are, because we haven't gotten any answers when it comes to Brock and what happened. And people are just getting tired of it because he's on the screen so much. Like in the past, yeah, he pops up once every couple of episodes, but he's been in almost every single episode.
He's been a mainstay.
He's a mainstay. And there's a lot of storylines with him and Sheena going on, and he's been involved in all the Tom stuff. So the more that he's on screen, the more people want answers.
I still want answers. Even his explanation of, you know, I'll look back. I should have been there better. I should have been a better father. Like all that stuff. Like, yeah, dude, but that's obvious. No shit you should have done things differently. No shit you should have been better. Look back at your 19-year-old self and say that you're going to be a good dad, all that stuff. Yeah, hindsight's a motherfucker.
Yep.
Yeah, you should have. You didn't. So let's talk about why, so that you can at least, like, I always get this weird feeling, like when I'm liking Brock on screen, I'm like, oh, Brock's been pretty good. I'm like, oh, but you left your fucking kids. Yeah. So I don't really care.
Chase your NFL dream, because you were almost there.
Your quote-unquote NFL dream.
You were almost a first rounder.
It's just so weird to me. But he claims to be working on his relationship with his other kids. I really hope he is. Like, not even for his sake, for his kids' sake. And he says, you know, I'm respecting their mother's wishes to not be involved until they want me involved. If that's true as well, okay, good. At least you're respecting boundaries. But this is such a major sticking point that it's like I will not be comfortable with it until I understand it better. And they always kind of give the runaround. It's never an exact answer. And now you're renaming your kids to somewhat mimic your original kids, like, which is fucking nuts.
It's fucking insane. Like when I first heard that, when I first thought about it, wouldn't that be a constant reminder of the daughter that you left behind?
You would think.
Like, change that. Like, why would you even come close to that, let alone an exact replica of that name?
The only thing that could be worse.
Sheena's on board with
it. Would be summer sun instead of winter moon. Wait, no.
No, it would have been winter. It would have been winter sun versus summer moon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would have been worse. And here's what I want to know. Did Brock come up with that name? And Sheena was like, wow, that's beautiful. I love that. And then he just didn't tell her?
Oh,
did Sheena know? The whole thing's fucked. The whole thing is very fucked up.
It's more fucked.
It's just all fucked
if
up.
If Sheena was in on it and was like, yeah, let's do that name.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like it. Yeah. I didn't know that.
What do you mean Dev tried to tell you earlier and you didn't?
She did. She said, you know, his other kid's name is Summer or Winter. What the fuck?
Winter Sky.
Winter Sky. And I was like, oh, okay. Because I didn't think about Summer Moon.
Yeah.
Because I'm an idiot. Now I see what. Sorry, Dev.
You don't even follow Summer Moon on Instagram. So,
dude, I definitely don't. But my bad, Dev. I see what you're trying to do. And I that was lost on me. But moving on from there, we get Schwartz and Sandoval because, of course, we need more Schwartz and Sandy on our screens. The way that Sandoval gets into the car, you're not in Miami Vice.
Nope.
You're 45, going through a midlife crisis with your friend that's going through a midlife crisis.
Surprised he didn't try to slide across the hood and, you know,
and scratch the hood.
Yeah.
I wish he'd done that and fallen off the edge of it. I wish the door opened as he hopped over the side of it and he fell down.
Yep.
Like, what? Just get in the fucking car, man.
Did Schwartz get that car recently, like, to match his hair?
Do you know what I think?
What?
I think he rented that car for that.
I bet you did too.
I think that's a rental. I don't think that, because you know why?
So many, like even Ariana later makes that Barbie reference with the Mojo Dojo Casa.
I love that reference.
Which is a good reference, but there's a lot of Barbie references. And I think that car is also, it looks like a Ken car. Looks like a Barbie car.
It did look like a Ken car. Yeah. It did look like a Ken car. I don't know. But Schwartz is going to get tattooed and they're all taking a trip out to San Francisco because Kyle Chan is launching a whiskey. I feel like everyone's launching alcohol these days.
Yep.
They can't all be successful.
Yeah.
Or non-alcoholic beverages.
Yep.
Cool.
I thought you just got an ick. It's like, what happened?
No, but my new favorite person to follow is the ick list. Have you seen that on TikTok?
Oh, yeah.
The dude
just keeps adding to them. Yeah.
It's like 800 of them. It's like, don't wear shoes.
Yeah.
Don't walk. Don't, like, they're
girls
so
do really funny. Have lists on their phone, things that they don't like, and full ick lists.
There's a lot
they share
icks
with each other. I know.
Yeah, it's tough. Tough to avoid
it's
being
hard
an
to
ick.
Be out here for the guys. You
yeah,
know?
Man. The plight of men, once again.
Yep. God, we have it the hardest.
Oh, don't even open that fucking door. People are going to think you're serious, and we're going to get hate comments, but.
Hate.
Oh, man, Chappelle's show. But they get to the tattoo parlor, and Schwartz is getting his dogs on his back. At least this is the first tattoo that, like, makes sense instead of getting other people's names tattooed on your ass. But Sandoval brings up the house thing again. And I knew this was happening. I fucking knew it. Because the way that Schwartz constantly responds to Sandoval's like, no, dude, this is a bad idea. Like, I'm not going to do this. We get a cut scene later where he's talking to somebody, not when he's talking to Ariana.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking to somebody else. And
he's talking to Jax.
Was it Jax? Yeah. He's seemed like he's kind of into it.
Yep.
Like, he's not anti this idea.
Like, Tom has worn. It's so funny because we see Schwartz wear down Katie to the point where now Katie's like, all right, fine, whatever. He wore down Ariana. Tom Sandoval is wearing down Schwartz with this whole thing. And it's so easy to do. And we see it year in and year out. Whenever Schwartz isn't really on board with something, Sandoval just keeps going and going and going. And he's having fucking meetings with his weird assistant that he has now with a real estate agent to talk about places that have two units on a property.
Yeah.
So that the two of them can live together. Like, he's already moving forward with
That's
this plan.
That's the saddest reality show ever.
It is. Oh, God.
Schwartz and Sandy's, but it's them living in a duplex side by side.
God, what network would that be on?
That would be on True TV.
Yep. Because one of them's going to get murdered.
Yep. Sandoval's going to murder Schwartz.
Yep.
That's how this ends.
That's the only way for it to end, honestly. There's only one way to end.
The only way out of Schwartz murder and Sandy's is in a box. But the next scene, we get Allie and James, and they're getting a facial because they're going to a wedding. And this is the biggest drama that we have this episode. This is what we're at now. We're at the fact that James doesn't want to leave his dog.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. That's what we've gotten to. We're talking about the fact that he can't leave Hippie there. And even Allie, who has made sacrifices to bring this dog that she doesn't know into the house. The cat's we're the primary resident holders there as far as pets go. So to bring the dog in does cause a little bit of an upheaval. And as we see, they're sleeping in separate beds so they can sleep with the animals, that whole thing.
Why? Why don't your animals just go sleep somewhere that's an animal room?
I don't know. I'd have no idea.
I don't have answers to this.
But Allie makes a great point. You've got to give him a chance.
Do cats sleep with you?
I don't know. I've never owned one.
Yeah.
I will never own one.
I don't know about cats.
I don't know. But like Louis sleeps with us for a little bit and then he gets down because he gets hot. And then he gets active at night, this fucking guy. He'll walk around the house and he just clip-clops. And he's not small. He weighs like 90 fucking pounds. He's a horse.
Yeah, so he is a horse.
He's clomping around my house at like 3 o'clock in the morning. Then he drinks for like 30 minutes. He has water all day, all right? Before you think that, oh, he's only getting water. No, he has water throughout the day.
He's boozing.
Just at night, he's sitting there just like for like 30 fucking minutes. So I don't know what's going on with their dog. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore.
I don't even know what's going on with your dog.
I don't know what's going on with Lou. But the whole point is, and like I guess the biggest issue is that James's brother is out of town. He only trusts his brother with this dog.
Which is insane. Like we know that Hippie has what? Like a checkered past with biting potentially? Yeah. But it's probably just nipping when he's playing or something like that. And he just never learned as a puppy. So he continued to do it. It's okay.
Well, I was going to save it.
You know where you got it from? Go to Vanderpump Dogs.
Go to Vanderpump Dogs. They'll sit.
Somebody's got it.
But my whole thing with it is, do I see where James is coming from slightly? Not as far as like, I'm not going to this wedding for your best friend. And I didn't realize she's in the wedding party. So like, yes, you have to go to that wedding.
It's in Ohio.
It's a terrible look if you don't go to that wedding. Do I understand a little bit, like, you're apprehensive to leave him because of what's gone on with your dog and because Rachel dumped him at a fucking shelter and he has a checkered past probably as a result of that?
Yeah.
Totally. But for him to not be able to find the middle ground here and be like, all right, Allie, you've made sacrifices to bring Hippie into our lives. Let me, quote unquote, make a sacrifice to go away with you for a wedding for 4 days. Like, that's not asking that much, I don't think, but... We get to Ariana and Dan. We're starting to see Dan more. I'm assuming we're going to see him in next week's episode in San Francisco, but he's going down there. Craig is the name of the assistant. Craig comes in his overalls. Craig's a hot commodity on socials right now. People like Craig.
How about that?
Yeah, they say he's a good-looking dude. Mm. So people are into Craig.
Must be the mustache.
People like guys with mustaches. Yep. Let's look at my mustachio gentleman friend over here.
Sure do.
Hey, pal. But... Ariana's upstairs in the gym on the treadmill because Sandoval wanted the first floor to meet with his realtor.
Which
virtually. I thought, exactly. I thought meeting downstairs. No,
over
he's
Skype.
Out back Skyping with his real estate agent.
Uh-huh.
He could have done that anywhere. You don't need to have the first floor for that nonsense.
Do it in your bedroom.
And this is where we find out about the two units on one property. And all I could think about was this sad fucking reality TV show. And in my head, for whatever reason, this property looks like a bayou in Louisiana, and there's two like shacks on either side.
Yep.
No shame to the bayou. Love the bayou. Been down there multiple times in Louisiana, but that's what I'm picturing. And then these two sad ex-reality TV stars that have nothing going on anymore. Schwartz still has blonde hair for some reason. Sandoval is still wearing stupid clothing, but he's in the middle of nowhere. And they go and they meet halfway in between their stupid houses and they sit on rocking chairs and talk about the good old days.
Yep.
And that's their future.
That is pretty much what's going to happen.
That's what's going to happen. But we get to Sir, or is it Sir Pump? Pump Sir? Where are they?
Sir this? Pump sounds girl, sick.
Sir Pump. They're at Sir Pump's and it's a girl's lunch. Schwartz and Sandy show up and LVP's there with Guillermo. This is when we're about to get Jax on screen again. And LVP is talking to Guillermo, who is the manager at Pump or Sir Pump.
Sir Pump.
Sir Pump. And she asks him, why is Jax hosting a brunch here? He's been extremely disrespectful to me. Why would he disparage me across the board and then want to have an event at my space? Two things. One, I still don't get how you don't know this is happening.
One, you already knew about it.
Two, you know exactly why. Because it's going to push the needle. It's going to sell tickets. They said the place is packed. They do not have seats left.
I think she, at the end of the day, she just wanted her opportunity to have like some sort of get back at him face to face.
As she should.
And that's fine. Because it was a pretty good scene.
It was a great scene.
There weren't too many good scenes in this one. And that was a good one.
It was Jackson LVP. And we're getting to that right now. And she flat out says, I don't want you here. And I love that he's trying to play like, oh, Lisa, like, come on, blah, blah, blah. And she's like reciting things. You said... She's a fraud. She's superfluous. And he goes, I don't even know what that means. Superfluous. What? Superfluous?
There's no way that he said that.
There's definitely a world in which he said that, but I do believe what he said. I don't know what that word means. I don't think you do.
That's a good point.
The funniest part is after reading the definition out loud, you used it correctly.
Yep.
I don't think you know what it meant, but she recites it all back to him. And his fucking approach is, you haven't checked on me or my wife in 3 years. Look, you fucking hypocrite. You can't be a piece of shit and then go out on the airwaves and be a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Go in interviews and be a piece of shit. Talk shit about the woman that gave you everything, Jax. Let's not forget why you're here. You are where you are today because of Lisa Vanderpump. Do not bite the hand that feeds you. He should have walked in there on his hands and knees and said, Lisa, I'm so sorry.
Yep.
I shouldn't have said a fucking word.
Well, the funny thing is he talked to James about it, and he even joked and said, what do you want me to do, show up with flowers? And James is like, yeah, honestly.
Probably a good idea.
Probably a good idea. You should grovel a little bit.
Probably a good start.
Yeah, and he seemed to actually consider it, but when he walks into the room, he did not consider it at all.
No.
He just wanted to walk in, hey, everybody, how's it going? I'm back.
Yeah, we're normal, right? Yeah. Everything's cool.
I do love that Bravo at least threw in the ex-Sir employee.
Yeah, it was so
like, that's
funny.
The best way to do it. It's not like Star of the Valley or anything
ex-Sir
like that. No.
Ex-Sir employee.
Yeah.
But at the end of the conversation, you know, it is what it is. You can't shake the roots of where they both came from. He's an OG Vanderpumper. So even Lisa, he's like, look, Lisa, no matter what, I love you. And she's like, you're so annoying. I don't like you, but I love you too. And I think that's kind of how these relationships will always go. There's always going to be a soft spot in their heart for Jax. I don't know why. He's a big piece of shit, but he's her piece of shit.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? But we get Jax with the girls, and she's been on all season. And to her credit, and I have not been her biggest fan in the past, as I've said, but to her credit, across the majority of seasons on this show, and she's had her ups and downs, especially with Tequila Katie. And what I can say about Katie, she has been the most consistent. She has been the most herself. I love that she stands by her convictions. She will not be pushed or bullied into getting along with anybody that she doesn't want to.
Yep.
If she doesn't like you, she's not going to fuck with you. And she has not changed that stance. And I love that. I think it's awesome. And she points out, when Jax walks over, anybody that has to reiterate time and time again how much they've changed, they haven't changed at all. And the perfect example of that is Exhibit A, Jax Taylor, Exhibit B, Tom Sandoval. You couldn't have said it any better. But Jax tells Ariana about Schwartz moving into the house. He said, I don't know if you heard, because Jax loves the gossip. I love Ariana's reaction. She doesn't care. She's like, I don't fucking care. Give me my money. I'll get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
If those two idiots want to live together for the rest of their life, fine. That doesn't bother me.
Yep.
Just give me my money. Fuck yeah. That's all you need. It's not worth getting in an upheaval about, because also, that sounds like the best retribution ever. These two guys are going to try to live together as 40-year-olds?
In the house that you picked out that you want nothing to do with. And that's the thing that we've learned over the last couple of weeks, which people had wrong to begin with. Ariana doesn't care about the house.
She
just wants the stuff that she picked out, the good stuff that'll work in a new house, and she wants to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
She's trying to actively get the fuck out of there. So that's actually really funny. That's got to be the best revenge, and you didn't even have to lift a finger to do it. You get paid out by Tom, who's now taking a loan out.
Refinancing.
Get you out and refinancing, and you get to just walk away from all of that with a fat stack while the two Toms have to go live in that house or find another property.
In crippling
sounds
debt.
Awful.
They're gonna
sounds terrible.
By the way, they're going to lose the house. They're not going to be able to afford that.
No,
especially with a refi and a loan on top of it. Like, no shot.
Especially if Schwartz, he said he can't even afford a $6,000 a month rent.
Yeah, but now the rent is, by the way, he said it was $6,000 to move in with him.
Mm-hmm.
It has now gone up to $22,000 a month. That means you got to pay $11,000 for this mortgage because you got a refi. So, like,
No.
If I'm Ariana, I'm like, do it.
Yeah.
Fucking do it.
Have fun. Yeah. Have a good time.
You guys are going to be bankrupt in a year. So, go for it. Like, that's the best payback.
I mean, Barr's doing really well, right? So they can just siphon some cash out of that.
No, it's not doing well at all. And they had to combine Tom with Sir. So, wait, is it Tom and Pump? Or is it just Pump and Sir that combined? All right, my
Pump
bad.
And Sir.
My bad. But they're doing, no. Because Tom was up. Oh, man. I don't know. They're going to go bankrupt in the house.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
And this is where Ariana drops the Mojo Dojo Casa House line, which was on point for those two idiots. But we get Tom with James talking, and James is like, you know, I don't want to wake up and be mad at you. I want to be able to move past this, and not even in a way where it's like, I want to be able to be friends with you again. He's like, I don't want you to take up real estate in my head anymore. Tom, with some weird self-righteous tone, is like, that's good you finally realized that. It's so fucking frustrating, but I'm glad that James is starting to come around to the idea, like, this man's not going to be your friend. He's not going to give you what you want from him. He's like, you should. You should, so you don't look back and say, wow, I'm a fool. I'm such an idiot. But you can't. You have no presence of mind to take the same approach and be like, let me look at this overall. Do I still want to be this fucking guy in 5 years? Because you're on the path to be the same piece of shit that burned the world down a year ago. And even James Kennedy, DJ James Kennedy, who's not an outstanding citizen, is
upstanding
telling you this upstanding too. Citizen tells you the same shit. If I'm Sandoval and James is checking me, that's enough for me.
Well, he has no self-awareness, fuck, so it doesn't really matter.
Zero. But we get back to James and Allie's house for like the after party or whatever. And this is where we get like the hippie update. And Allie's really upset because James doesn't go to the wedding. And Harry, or the brother, isn't home to watch him. And this is where James interjects. He's like, well, I want to stay home with him. I will say this to the people comparing it to their pet situations. It is different because of what happened to Hippie. He got dumped at a shelter. He was there for a while. Like, it was not a pretty journey to get back to James. So I do understand that part of it. It is different than their scenarios. Sure. However, there are alternatives to somebody that can watch your dog. Ask Lisa. Ask Lisa if she knows somebody. She's probably got a great list of dog sitters because she owns Vamberdump dogs. Holy shit.
Vamberdump dogs.
So she probably can help you out there. The fact that he's holding on to this so wholeheartedly and other people are pointing out to him, Allie's made sacrifices for you. This would be a good time to show up for her.
Yeah.
And he's incapable of seeing past it. This is James, one of his biggest flaws consistently. He needs to have it his way. And he gets so stuck on it that then he gets emotional. He gets louder and he starts like acting.
He got a little louder, but then he started crying.
He started crying because this hits close to home, I guess. But at the same time, sure. Dude, it's like, fucking save it. Like, you shouldn't be putting Allie in this situation where now she's like, you can't come to my friend's fucking wedding. I'm in the fucking wedding, dude. It's a dog. He'll be here when we get back.
The whole thing about, like, I'm never leaving him again. I'm never going to be without him again. I'm sorry, dude, but you did leave him. You left him with Rachel. You agreed to move on from all of that and leave the dog with Rachel. And where'd that get you? Hippie went all the way around and did all this. You weren't inquiring about the dog afterwards. Lisa found the dog and brought him back to you.
Correct.
So yeah, you can do all that. It was written in the stars that he was going to come back to me. Bullshit if you want to. But at the end of the day, you left the dog originally. So you don't get to sit here now and say, I'm never leaving this dog again. He means the world to me and I've got these abandonment issues. No, that's not how that works. Also, bro, give the dog to somebody who's going to watch him. There are 50 people, and he makes a point to say, oh, you guys talk about, like, if fur baby is a real thing, you guys all have kids, you wouldn't even do that. I've been hearing about your nanny situation the whole time. Not the same.
No.
Not the same. That actually points out what's wrong with fur babies.
Yeah.
People that talk about it like that. So, no, definitely not the same. And also, if you were nice to these people, a lot of them have owned dogs. They'll probably watch Hippie for a weekend.
Correct.
So, grow up and shut the fuck up.
Well said.
Yeah.
I got nothing to add.
And again, if Jax wasn't in this episode and we didn't get a little spark between Katie and Tom, this episode would have sucked and this would have been the main point of it.
Exactly. I know. This would be the main drama is the fact that he doesn't want to leave his dog. But we get James and Schwartz and Katie talking. This is where the cheating rumors come up. And this is where Jax blames Katie. And Katie's like, there's the internet, you dumbass. Like, this isn't me pushing this narrative. I said it once on TV, but there are plenty of articles and things like that talking about this, have been talking about it. By the way, fast forward to now, you don't live with your wife anymore.
You don't live with your wife anymore.
Something's going on, and you're off gallivanting with your assistant.
Yeah. So this is just like an A1 case of Jax didn't know what to say when it originally came up when they were at Pump Sir, and he got to drive to James's or Uber to James's or whatever. And he thought about what he was going to say to Katie. He was trying to make her feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
What angle does he choose but saying, you don't even talk to Brittany anymore? I'm sorry, dude, but you're her wife. Katie fucking hates you.
Yeah.
So no, you're her husband, her wife, whatever. Katie fucking hates you. So yeah, she's not going to talk to Brittany because you're always there.
Yeah, she hates.
That's how that works. If anything, you can point at yourself and say, Katie's not a good friend to my wife anymore because I'm a piece of shit.
Yeah, you're the problem.
Yeah.
You have always been the problem.
And luckily, Katie doesn't get bogged down by any of that. No. She just makes a face. She's like, what the fuck are you even talking about? Like, yeah. No, of course I'm not going to be friends with Brittany. She's your wife.
Yeah.
She's associated with you, and I hate you.
She hates you so much that she will not look past it to be friends with your wife. That's how much of a shitty person you are. And again, that's why Katie's awesome, is because she doesn't buckle. She's not like, oh, you're right, I'll go talk to Brittany. She's like, no, you're a dick. I'm not talking to her because I have to associate with you. But this is where we get the scene with Ariana and Schwartz. And I thought this was so just a good scene because they're able to sit down and talk. And he's like, I heard Jax told you about the house and, you know, I'm not doing it, but like, would you hate me if I did? And again, she's like, no, I think that she's so far past this now. She's like, dude, I don't care. I just want my money and you guys can do whatever the hell you want to do. Like, it's not my problem. If you guys want to go into debt and bankrupt each other, by all means, carry on, sirs. Mm-hmm. But the last thing we need to talk about is we get Brock yelling at his wife again, of course, because Sheena wants to go home. I fully agree with Sheena here, all right? Like, if she's done, she went out. Like, this is where the compromise for me needs to come in, because she went out. You guys got to go out. You got to go to the after party at James's. You have a child at home. If she wants to get back to the kid, let her get back to the kid. If you are, maybe say, hey, I might stay. Is that cool? You go read this summer and I'm going to stay and hang out. All right. Or hey, what? I don't know.
It's like, just no, in no world has he built up enough grace and respect to be able to say something like that now.
No.
Just because he's been yelling at her the whole time. He's been a dick about the whole nanny situation. He's ignoring all of Sheena's feelings when it comes to all of this. And now he's going to, once again, yell at her from the pool while she's walking up that way so that everybody can hear it.
That was so embarrassing.
It's just
dude.
Fucking embarrassing. And I hate when he does it because it's just so belittling to your wife to be able to do that in front of other people. If you have a problem with it, you know what? Bitch about it on the ride home. The two of you can talk in a car and you can complain about it all you want, but don't do it in front of other people because it's just fucking terrible.
She was like away from him. Yeah. He yelled wearing a fucking mankini
again
and on a floaty, yells across the party and says, that's why we have a nanny. Like, dude, fucking shut up. Get up and walk over there if you want to talk to her. Don't yell at your wife across the party. Yeah. And you get bailed out because the next thing that happens is Kyle Chan and Sheena and Sandoval are talking about Apples, her quote-unquote diss track that she made about Rachel and Sandoval. And here we go, victim Tom again. You know, honestly, it's just been a lot. Like, it's been a lot. Sheena, all you had to do was, like, keep your mouth shut. You said to keep your mouth shut. You don't get to tell anybody what they could have, should have, or would have done over the past year because you did all of this. And, like, I'm not doing this again. I'm not going down this path where we vent and rant and rave about what Sandoval has done because we all know. It's just this is why the show is getting fucking boring. I don't need to see him try to vindicate himself anymore.
Vindicate.
I'm struggling, bro. I'm fucking struggling, but vindicate. That's a good one. Maybe that's the word we get into the dictionary. Vindicate. But Brock steps in out of nowhere. And he says, well, you've been making songs on tour and this and that. And it's like, yeah, dude, you've been.
Good point.
It is. You've been using Rachel and
Schwartz.
I hate
it when Brock makes a good point.
I know, right? But he always does in these situations.
We've been talking about it the entire season, too. We're like, when is anybody going to call him out for doing that on tour?
Yeah.
It's fucking Brock after he yells at his wife.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, oh, nice, but not you. Someone else say this.
Yeah, someone else. But just whisper it to somebody else and let them tell it.
Right. You've been talking shit on your entire stupid bullshit karaoke band tour, so you don't get to say like your song hurt my feelings, like fucking grow up once again. But his big argument is like, you guys involved yourselves, you involved everybody, dude. And Sheena was one of your best friends, according to her. You denied it later and then went back this season in your confessional. It's like, me and Sheena were so close. You got everybody involved, and the worst possible thing you could probably do here is to remind Sheena that she was the other woman at some point in her life when she was like a 22-year-old.
I love that Lala pretty much kept her mouth shut the whole time, but she heard that and she's like, whoa.
Yeah, whoa. But I think that Ariana's face was the best because she's like, ooh, shit. I couldn't believe he fucking said that.
Yeah.
And then Brock comes over and like grabs him by the neck and like kind of pushes him away. I wish Brock fucking leveled him.
Yeah.
I wish he fucking teed off on him right there. I don't, because Sandoval would sue the pants off of him and then would win that, which sucks.
And Brock already had to sell his gyms, so what's he going to pay with?
Yeah, you know what I mean? So now Sheena has to take the brunt of it. But dude, Sheena goes off. She turns around, starts screaming in his face. It's like, fuck you. Like, I have fucked up thoughts about Lala because of you. All of these different things. Which
I love that scream out, though.
Yeah, Lala's
because once again, like Lala, Ariana, and Katie sitting all the way over here, like, there's a lot of male voices going on over there. What the hell's happening now? And then Lala gets to hear, I had thoughts about Lala cheating with my husband. And you're like, whoa.
And Lala's like, wait a minute. Whoa. But that's like, every time that any progress is made, Sandoval will always shoot himself in the foot, backtrack, backpedal, because he's not a good person. That's why this show's getting stale. It's yep. Like, yeah, we know. Like, we know all this happens. I can't believe he said something like that. That's fucking insane that he would try to compare those two situations. It's not the same thing. It is a good reminder that all of these people are fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's fucked each other over. But we're at the point now where it's like, all right, what is going to shift to make this more entertaining to watch? Because at this point, we are rerunning the same shit over and over again, to the point that what took center stage was the fact that James didn't want to leave his dog.
Yeah.
That's not good TV.
Nope, that's shit TV.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I'm not into it.
I don't know how they get back on the right track. Maybe you just accept that this is it and move on from this show, but we'll see how they wrap the season up. How many episodes do you think we have left? Five? Four?
Four or five, probably.
Yeah. Well, time will tell. Let's get in some questions.
Yeah, we got a few questions here, and I'm going to start off with Diana Jerry said, do you think Jax's apology to LVP was genuine?
No.
No. No. Yeah, just no.
I don't think anything he does is genuine. I think in the moment, I do believe that Jax thinks he's genuine, and the minute he walks away from any scenario, it doesn't matter. It's null and void.
Zach Mellon is kind of, well, maybe not the right word, but Zach Mellon asks, is Brock amazing or horrible, and why is the answer both?
Well said. Well said.
Amazing, probably not, but he's definitely amazing. Horrible.
Here, let me break it down. He's amazing in the fact that, like, he has those moments of clarity where he says some shit, and you're like, wow, that's a great point. And then he goes and yells at his wife in public, which is horrible. I mean, you shouldn't yell at your wife, period, but the fact that you're doing it in front of other people so she's even more embarrassed is deplorable. So I think maybe that's why.
It could be.
You get moments of clarity where it's like, wow, great point, Brock, and then you're like, oh, fuck you, Brock.
Yeah, no, agreed. It's Sin said, will the bros also watch the after show and comment on that for VPR? I've actually heard this before, too, where the after show, they do share a lot. And we talk about confessionals a lot, where we're like, I don't really know, you know, how far down the line we are. I know they do them in stages. So what's going on? The after show is fully after the season.
Yeah, it's a straight hindsight. That's a dangerous game to play, mm-hmm. because we're trying to comment from where they are at in the season. Because if we went from the scope of where they are now, like, we know, because Lala's turned on everybody. So if we commented it from, like, that approach, it wouldn't make a lot of sense. Because
no, and we still do bring a lot of it in, like, when we see clips from it. But apparently you can pretty much tell that, like, Ariana's completely checked out. Katie's completely checked out. So it looks like they're not even going to come back. So it is kind of tough. And I know that there's some good nuggets of information there. So we'll keep an eye on it. But we're not going to really bring in, like, a full breakdown of what
we do tend
about.
To get the nuggets. Like, we hear those. Yeah. We see those clips. So, but if you guys see something you think we should talk about, just send it to us. We'll see it, hopefully. Or tag us in a story or something.
And we'll do one more here from Emma Francis 07. Why the hell did Lisa let Jax stay? Boy, bye.
Money.
Money has to be.
That place was packed because he was there.
Exactly. Period.
That's all. Look.
You heard it when he walked over to James's DJ set.
Yeah.
DJ Jax Taylor is up here. Like, people were actually screaming and going over to him. So.
Look, LVP at the root of everything is a businesswoman, and a very good one at that.
Yep.
She makes that cash money, babe. That's why she has a Villa Rosa. That's why she has a Chateau Blah Blah.
But that's all I got. You got anything?
No, we got to record our next episode. So, Brock Bros are out of here.
Later.
Hey, hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers.
And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's D-A-N-A, on your podcast app.